What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not comedy.
It's not going to be a podcast. It's going to be a fucking train wreck.
I wouldn't say that.
Been on stage enough to know, like, yeah, what to not say to get.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, man.
You like, think that? Yeah. I've had a few people come on and, like, say some wild shit. And then afterwards be like, I got bashed for that.
The stuff that the person got bashed for wasn't even that wild.
Someone actually got bashed.
Yeah, someone got bashed because of our podcast.
Yeah. Like, by a chick, though, so it doesn't really count.
Yeah, it was more of a gay bashing than anything. She was just a homophobe. Yep. It was a lesbian homophobe.
Anyway, Kurt Sterling, welcome to the podcast, mate. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
He's a man about town. Travelling around.
Good to be up in Newcastle.
Yeah.
I feel like I live here now.
Yeah.
How long have you been here for? 24 hours.
30 minutes.
30 minutes.
No, I was saying to Mitch, I went back to my mum's house last night.
Oh, yeah. Where's that?
Woi Woi.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Down the coast.
Down the coast. Good excuse.
Right. Yeah.
Good excuse. Get away from the city.
Is that home base for you at the moment or?
No, I live in Sydney. So right. I live in the North Shore. Which I do not like.
Here we go.
At all.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Whereabouts? To be honest.
Cameray.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
It's the most boring fucking place on the planet. It's like old people.
Old rich cunts.
There's everything shuts at 2 p.m. Like, it's just terrible. I hate it.
How's the rent? It would be expensive.
Steep. But I ended up, the only reason I'm there actually is because my rent, I was living in the city and my rent went up like 25%.
Mm.
So I was like looking for a new place. And then you just couldn't find anywhere. Like, you'd go to an inspection. And there's 100 people there.
Yeah.
And you're like, how the fuck do I even get in? And, you know, these applications, they take 2 hours to do, whatever. And so you go to the inspection, you do the application, they reject you a week later, and you're like, fuck, I'm wasting my time here. So I ended up just finding a place that was like, it looks okay, the rent's okay, and applying before the inspection without even going there.
Yeah, that's how I've done it before.
And that was just like, yeah. And now I'm in Cameray. And it's funny because every time I say I live in Cameray, I'm like, ooh, fancy. I'm like, no, I hate it. I don't want to be there. I'd much rather be like somewhere more interesting. But yeah, it does a job. The good thing about it is that it's like close to the city, close to the M1. So I can like shoot up here, shoot to the Central Coast. You know,
it's
like,
that's sweet.
It's on that artery.
So you just catch a train into the city if you're doing gigs?
There's no train station, but there's buses.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mess.
That's rough.
It's a bit of a mess. I actually need two buses most of the time to get in the city. So it's like 10 minutes drive, but it's like 45 minutes on a bus.
45 minutes.
Yeah, because it snakes around all the place.
Yeah. Buses are the worst, but they're good if you want to jerk off.
Yeah?
Yeah, you can just jerk off on buses. That's how it works.
Where's your go-to seat for a bus joke?
Behind back, in the middle. Back seat in the middle.
I thought you'd be behind the driver.
No, they don't. Since they put the glass up, it's no point anymore.
Yeah, right.
As long as you can't see, that's all
right. Yeah. Spread eagle.
Back seat in the middle. Let everyone know.
Yeah.
You're going to do it. You want to make a statement, right?
Yeah. It's like a alpha dog move, you know? Trying to be more like Tate, you know? Fucking Andrew Tate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's how he'd do it.
He's a bus masturbator for sure.
For sure. Yeah.
He's disappeared a bit, eh? Have you seen it? Like, does he pop up on your reels anymore? He's like dropped off the face of the earth.
No, since the human trafficking charges, I think he's.
That'll do it.
Yeah. I can't believe how fucking rich he is. He used to run scams, allegedly, as well. Like, he used to do romance scams and stuff.
Everyone's doing scams these days. All the fucking. You probably get heaps of these videos for ads on Instagram. Do you get the ones how it's like grow your followers, fucking all that shit, like Path Social and all that crap? They're all scams.
Oh, yeah.
I make 10 grand a day selling my fucking course for like $5.
Mm.
And then the course, you go to it and it's like, oh, for like $3,000, we'll teach you like this marketing course.
Yeah.
And for $6,000, you can get this. And for $8,000, it's just a fucking scam. Yeah. None of it works. It's fucked.
Yeah.
There's this dude called like Ask Tobin. He does like, I don't know how you would describe it. It's like revealing that like these people are scammers. Like he's a whistleblower type dude, but he's also an online marketer. So he's like revealing all these scams, but he's also what I would consider a scammer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good marketing. Yeah. Shit on everyone else.
Yeah.
And then you seem like the real one. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what we do on this podcast. We shit on everyone else and we're like, actually, we're retarded too.
Yeah.
I was saying to Ethan last night, I started listening to the pod like on the drives up because I had like 2 hours up last night, an hour back, an hour today. And I'm learning a lot about the comedy scene. It's good.
Yeah.
All the like little backstories, little, you know, little gossip is good. It's good.
Yeah.
We do a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I just need to get it out of my system because otherwise it just sits there ferments.
Fair. Yeah, you turn into one of those open micers who's fucking posting on the open mic page all upset.
Have a meltdown. Yeah. Ask him where the catering is. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was funny as fuck. Yeah.
I've never met that guy. I think he disappeared.
Probably. They don't last long. But we've had him up here too. You have some people that are just crazy, like crazy people. They just expect that... what's the word for it? Fucking, they think that they're owed shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, entitled, sorry. There we go. Fucking brain's not firing properly. But yeah, they're like super entitled. They think that like, because what was one of them saying? Like they did Raw and Raw sold a bunch of tickets, but we didn't get any of that cut. It's like, what did you do to contribute to get a part of that cut?
Jesus.
You turned up and performed for a competition that they're going to judge you on, like,
so they were hitting up what the venue or Raw saying, give me my cut.
Yeah, they wanted to be paid to do Raw. It's like anyone can enter, cunt.
Good luck. Yeah.
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 I think you're getting that check.
Yeah. It's not like the show's not going to go ahead if you don't sign up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Crazy. If you're emceeing, like, fair enough.
And it's supposed to be for people that are new and just starting out.
Yeah.
And if you're new and starting out, you can't expect to be paid because you're not fucking good at it yet.
Yeah.
Were they good?
No.
It's always the people who are terrible.
People who complain. People who complain are never good. People who whinge you. We're not good at comedy.
Yeah. But how's comedy been going for you, man?
It's good, yeah.
Getting heaps of spots.
Pound and through it. I did Adelaide Fringe on the last weekend.
Yeah.
First ever solo show, so that was exciting. Scary, but exciting.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. It was really, really cool. And even just like be there in the festival and see how it operates and everything.
Yeah.
Like walk around the town, everyone's posters are everywhere and sort of figuring out. Yeah, just like starting to understand a bit how it all works, you know?
Yeah. How they're going to fuck you and take all your money.
Yeah.
I see what's going on here.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was really, really cool. I would say like I still feel like so I did Friday night, 60 minutes, Saturday night, 60 minutes. And it's like, I still feel like a little bit tired, I'll be honest. Like a week later, I'm like...
Mm. Yeah, it's a lot, dude. It's a lot.
Emotionally drained. I don't know. Hard to describe.
Dude, it sucks running shows. It sucks having that pressure on yourself to be like, all right, we've got to get people in the door. And you know, if you don't get like a certain amount of people in the door for the show, it's not going to be a good show.
It's not going to be a good show.
Yeah. And you're going to bomb.
Yeah.
And then that's even worse. Because you're down in Adelaide.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck, I've gone all this way to bomb to 10 people. And then the guilt as well comes in. Like if they don't have a good show, you're like, fuck.
Yeah, emotionally exhausting.
Yeah, yeah.
But honestly, it was deliberate to do Adelaide because I was like, if it doesn't go well, no one I know saw it. You know, whereas if I do it in Sydney, it's like friends are going to come and whatever. So it was like, it felt lower stakes.
Yeah, that's why we did Dubbo Fringe the first time we did anything. We're like, we're going to go the fuck out to Dubbo.
How's Dubbo Fringe?
Terrible. Fucking awful. Why did we even give them cunts money?
23 tickets sold over two nights. And we had to compete with Awake.
What kind of venue? Like,
they just gave us a pub. Yeah. It's like we could have just done this ourselves.
We could have
paid the pub directly.
Yeah.
The fee for being part of their fringe. It was wild, dude.
Yeah. Could have run our own sound. It would have been way smoother than the guy who was running our sound.
Yeah.
They fucked it up. I said, we need speakers, cable, and cable microphones.
Yeah.
And they rocked up with wireless microphones and no sound.
Yeah.
And I
was like, horrible.
Fuck, dude.
And it's the same as every other fringe show you'll ever do.
Yeah.
The venue I had was like a pub as well, and it was down the bottom of a pub. And they had like a nice little area, and I was thinking, oh, this is pretty good. And then I realized there's no fucking lights on the stage. So all the lights were above the audience area, and then the stage was in a corner. Yeah, but imagine it's like this, but imagine you didn't have these lights. So this whole area is just like dark.
Dark. fuck.
And I just assumed they were setting something up.
Like a spotty or something.
And it got to 10 minutes before the show, people are coming in, and I was like, oh, what are we doing for the stage lights? And they're like, we weren't told you needed stage lights. And it's like, well, it's a comedy show. Like, what did you...
What did you expect?
Like, I need a microphone and I need a light on the stage.
Yeah.
Like,
was it
they
Fringe?
They didn't be able to see me.
Adelaide Fringe or Adelaide Comedy? Like a comedy
Yeah, it was
festival.
Adelaide Fringe Festival, right. Yeah. But then you obviously, like, work with the venue directly.
Right.
I think Fringe just...
They
have a list of venues. You contact them, and they're probably the same as Dubbo.
Yeah. So that's insane to me. Like, what? Like, how much did you pay for that?
I think I paid $250 a night.
Yeah. Wow.
For each of those.
So yeah.
You could have bought a spotlight.
Yeah. You could have bought a spotlight
and done it yourself.
Yeah.
$500. You could have said to the venue, "You keep bar sales. I'll take tickets on the door."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we do it? And they would have gone. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. You want to give us $250 a night? Of course.
They would have done it for free probably. Yeah, most venues don't take... If you're keeping ticket sales on the door, most venues will be like, yeah, sweet. We just...
No,
all
they
the
take
venues,
the ticket sales.
Well, you can do that as well. Yeah. So...
There's plenty of ways to do it.
Yeah, heaps, heaps. The two main ways you do it is venue keeps the tickets... the bar sales and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They don't pay you any money up front. And then
you take tickets.
Yeah.
And then the other way is the opposite, which is they keep ticket sales and bar sales, but they give you an upfront fee.
Yeah.
Right. Which
and
is
then
the
they do the marketing,
do
so they're in. Then it's on them if the show doesn't sell.
And how do you, when you're trying to set these up, how do you work out what to try and charge them? Like, do you just do a bit of a calc of like, oh, we think this many people are coming, you'll get $15 from each of them? Like, how do you sort of?
What's the show worth?
Yeah.
In your opinion.
My show itself, fucking zero. No, I'm thinking more
that's
like to set up a comedy show. Like to set up a say you were setting up a weekly mic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, open mic's like $300.
Yeah.
$300 or $400.
Yeah.
And how does the venue make $300 back? Is that
easy?
Because people
you've got 20 or 30 people in there buying drinks. She'll do that in an hour.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. So... It's one of those things, like when you're approaching a venue and you're like, I want to sell a show, you've got to be like, it's a mutual benefit.
Yeah.
They want people in the door buying food and drinks, and you need people in the door to buy tickets.
Yeah.
So if you sell it to them like that, it's great. And look, I would suggest most venues early on, like there's this pressure to be like, oh fuck, I'll just do ticket sales and I'll run it all myself and the venue do that. But most venues, if you come at them with like a showcase or whatever, you can argue like $1,500 for the night to pay the acts and all of that.
Yeah, easily.
And you say to them, you keep ticket sales or you choose not to ticket it. Like it's up to you, but we just turn up, we'll do the show, we'll make sure it's a good show. And then like everyone wins.
Fair.
Yeah, whereas if you get stuck doing like, and I've done that before, you do the ticket sales and then the venue owner's like, has like 10 of his mates come through, and he starts letting people through.
For free.
And you're like, for free, and you're like, oh, like, come on, man, like, I'm doing the door.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, yeah, well, I'll pay you back. And then 2 weeks later, you're like, hey, man, where's the $200 you owe me for the 10 tickets?
And
there's radio silence.
Yeah. He's like, I gave you a schnitzel that night. Shut up.
Yeah. Then they'll hit you back a year later and be like, oh, I'm opening up a new pub. You want to do a show? Like, you'll be paying me up front, motherfucker.
Yeah. There's a lot of pitfalls that you can fall into as well. Like, we're saying it's like, it's easy. You just do it this way or this way. But then they'll be like, oh, we don't have a marketing team. So can we pay you a bit more and then you do the tickets for it? Or you do the marketing for the tickets, but then it comes back on you if it doesn't sell well. Yeah. They haven't sold tickets, then they get shitty. Oh, you didn't do your job. It's like, well, I'm not a marketer. I'm a fucking comedian.
Yeah.
I'm here
to
run a show, not to run your social media for you. So you can fall into that one. And another one's like, if they say that they'll do the tickets, but then they don't have like a staff member that can run like Eventbrite or Sticky Tickets or whatever, because they're all old school. And you get this at like RSLs and shit. They're like, oh, we just do tickets over the bar.
Then...
Then the show doesn't sell because they post it online, but no one rocks up on the night
because
they haven't pre-bought their tickets. And then, the show goes to shit because no one's fucking bought tickets because it's not online. It's like, just fucking wake up, cunts. It's 2024. people want to buy tickets online ahead of time and just rock up.
Yeah.
Like, no, they'll turn up on the night. We made a Facebook post about it. Yeah. Like, no, they fucking won't.
Yeah.
If they find anything better to do, they'll go do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucked.
No one wants to risk rocking up and not getting a ticket either. You go, if you're going out for a night out, it's like, all right, I want to fucking book a ticket.
Especially if it's like in, where was that gig that we did out at fucking, out the back of Cardiff? It was like Boorigal or something.
Yeah.
So it's like in Newcastle, but it's probably like a 40-minute drive from here.
Yeah.
You go out the back of the industrial area and there's like this old RSL. And it was a sick room, like sick function room, low ceiling, well lit, fucking everything that you needed to be a sick show. But they just, they did a fair amount of like advertising for it, I suppose. But it just, the gig just went to shit. But it's like you were saying, it's like a big night out. For people that want to come to that gig, they've got to travel from, like, Toronto, Cessnock, like, fucking all around to come in further. But they're more likely to go to that than come all the way in here.
Yeah.
Because it's way too far for them. So, yeah, I don't know what happened with that one. They just didn't. I don't think they posted long enough for it. They started advertising, like, a week before the fucking gig was on.
And, well, there's just no one came.
Well, you need, like, at least a month, I reckon, of, like, posting.
People need to be reminded and shit.
Posting at least, I would say, once every 3 days for like a month, being like, this fucking thing is on.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. Come to it. Because otherwise, if it's a new thing too, no one's going to fucking know. It's hard. But I full credit to you, man, for going down and doing it. Like, it's a lot of work. And I've never done an hour. That must have been fucking hectic.
It was good, man. And, like, the objective wasn't to make money. I mean, I probably broke even just on, like, if you look at, like, tickets versus how much I paid for the venue. But then if you look at, like, flights and accommodation, it's like you obviously lost money. But for the stage time, it's just, like, priceless, you know what I mean? So in terms of, like, being able to go close to break even or somewhere near it, but just, like, be on the stage, it was good.
No, that's sick, man.
Yeah, it was really nice.
You get so much experience out of doing that much time as well, especially if you're just doing, like, smaller gigs, showcases and stuff. You're doing, like, seven-minute spots.
Yeah.
We found that here. We started a new, like, paid regulars open – not an open mic. It's curated. But if you're a paid regular here at the club, I'll book you for this show, but you've got to turn up and you've got to do 100% new material and you've got 10 minutes.
Mm.
So it's fucking hard work, man. But you'll be surprised. Every single comedian that I booked for that show was shitting themselves up the back.
Yeah.
Get on stage. All of a sudden, I'm giving them the light, and they're like, "I couldn't believe how fucking quickly that
went." That's cool. That's
and cool. They're all crushing.
With
brand new material.
And find some gems in there.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And then like we've got like a bucket drawer sort of thing. So like I've just written down some dumb premises.
Yeah.
And, like, we're going through them, like, oh, fuck. Like, hacky premises. You're like, oh, man, like, weirdest place you jerked off or whatever. I was like, fuck, that's gonna suck. And then, like, the comedian Joel pulls weirdest place you've ever jerked off. And then he just starts telling this story, and it's killing. And then he's like, he gets off stage, he's like, I've got a new bit.
And you're like,
you would have never fucking done it. Yeah. You would have never done it.
Does the audience know that it's all new?
Yeah.
I think that helps as well because it like lowers the pressure.
Yeah, it does.
And it's not like, oh, here's a funny thing that I wrote down today. It's kind of more just.
And they know if you pull it from the bucket that it's fucking, it's like a true story. Like it's in the moment.
That's awesome. Mm.
It brings them into it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, fuck, this is live. He's just doing it off the top.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. And I'm trying to get better at MCing and stuff like that. So that's why I'm running these shows.
Yeah.
Because I can host them. And then I get, like, the opportunity to practice crowd work. And
yeah, that's awesome.
All of that stuff. So I think to make a fucking long point really short, it's like sometimes you've just got to go for it.
Yeah.
Just be like, all right, fuck it, I'm doing an hour show. Maybe I haven't got an hour of material, but I'm doing an hour show. So let's see what happens. And
what was good as well is with, because I think it helps when you have a theme as well and the audience shows up and they know what to expect. Like like you were saying, you know, it's new material, people show up, they know what the vibe's going to be. With the show that I did, it was like the poster and everything was about office culture.
Right.
It's going to be a parody of office culture. Mm. We're going to take the piss out of corporate culture, whatever.
Yeah.
So everyone who showed up works in an office.
Yeah.
They're expecting me to talk about fucking office shit. You know yeah. what I mean? And it's like so much easier when they know what to expect versus if I go to just any mic and I start saying, oh, I work in an office, and everyone's like, oh, we're really going to talk about that.
Mm.
It makes it easier. And then it makes it easier to do shit like I did quite a lot of crowd work because it's like we all have this common theme already.
Yeah. Yep.
So there's already a bunch of things that I can ask everyone and et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah.
that helped get to an hour as well. Of like I probably had because I wanted to do like MC for myself at the start.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Because what I learned from doing the double show with Naza last year is we'd just come out and we'd just start doing material. And the first 7-10 minutes were like rough.
Yeah, no yeah. One's, taking no bullets, one's warm. No one's ready.
And I'm used to doing shows where there's an MC or whatever, and I'd never appreciated how important that was. And so it was like, okay, I'm going to need the MC for myself. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to do 10 minutes of crowd work, wait till they're warm, and then be like, all right, should we get into the show? And then just start. And it's like yep. not as good as calling someone else on, but at least it, yeah, it kind of worked. And so that crowd work portion helped as well get to kind of an hour.
Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. That whole, like, when you get on stage, it's the first, like, the first act, the lube for the night, it's like, it's the second hardest spot besides the MC.
Because
you've got to get up there. Not only are the crowd might not necessarily be warm, or it might be the total opposite, which has happened to me, where you, if you've ever performed with Legacy, Legacy can light a fucking room on fire and it's almost impossible to follow him.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you're like, you fuck me, man. And it's great. Like, don't get me wrong, I would much rather go up to a rock hot crowd and bomb than bomb to a fucking, after an MC's bombed, you fucking bomb. Like, that's fine too, but... Like that first spot of like you don't realize how much you've got to almost ingratiate yourself with the crowd.
Yeah, well, you fucking copped it on Thursday night.
Yeah,
at the Cheeky Dog.
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah, we did a gig to a bunch of fucking oldies out at Soldiers Point.
Yeah,
and they were not liking the sex jokes.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes you just get those old people that are just like, no, we're not laughing at this type of stuff.
Yeah,
it's too vulgar. Why do they have to be so rude?
I'm curious about that stuff because when I listen to the pod, you guys talked a lot about like you have dirty material and you have, you know, a type five about your dick and et cetera. Like, how do you guys, when you go to a venue and you look around and you're like, oh, fuck, these aren't my people.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? Do you adjust? Like, what's your strategy with that? Or do you say, no, I'm gonna own it and I'm going to try and get them on board with me?
That's what I've been starting to do now.
Yeah.
Like, I've just had... The shift literally at that Thursday show was where it really fucking nailed it for me, where I was like, I am sick of trying to fucking compromise myself and try and be who I'm not on stage to try and make these cunts laugh and pander to them when it's not me.
Yeah.
It's yes, I have different jokes and I have different material and I can still read a room and go, I'm going to use this joke instead of that joke, but they're two jokes that I wrote and I'm fucking happy with. I was like, yeah, I can go with that.
Yeah.
It's just like different tools for the job. But like if you've written enough, you'll have different tools.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But in terms of like sitting down and going, I'm going to write a joke for these people, for this situation, or like I'm going to go home and write a Sydney set because in Newtown they get offended by certain shit. So I'm going to try and
everything
compromise myself. Like you're not going to win.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not going to work. And that Thursday show, yeah, you got up and it was very up and down. Mm. And, like, your jokes about, like, Tanilba Bay and stuff like that, crushing.
Yeah, yeah.
You were absolutely crushing and dying in the same set.
It was crazy. Yeah
it was wild. Like, up and down, up and down. And then Eddie gets on and just does fucking my pussy jokes.
She's a black comic at heart. She really is.
Yeah. Just all sex jokes, which is Eddie. Like, that's her.
It's her.
Never change. Yeah. Never fucking change, Eddie.
Because she crushes. Sick.
And I love
she
you.
Crushes.
And you, yeah, she fucking destroys. So, but they were just not having her. And I think, at least with that, you have to draw, like, if there's an elephant in the room, not Eddie, but listen to that one, bitch. No, if there's like something that happens and like it happens with crowd work or something and like someone's on their phone in the front row or like whatever it is, as an MC or as an act, you have to fucking address it and then move on. Like if there's a heckler, you got to address it.
Yeah.
Them not laughing at your shit because they don't think it's appropriate is another elephant in the room, is how I look at it now. And it's like, I went on after Eddie, after the break, and I'm out with Brad out the back just going like, I fucking hate these cunts. Like, this is fucked. Because I was upset because I know that Mitch and Eddie are fucking awesome comics and it should have been going well. And I was like, this is fucked. Fuck it, I'm just going to go up there and tell them how it is. And just literally just drag them into what I thought was funny. I think that's the way to do it. It's like, you can't pander.
Yeah.
Yes, you can read the room and be like, this joke would work better than this one. And that's what I did. I was like, I'll try and use like jokes that I know that they'll be open to. But I went up there and I think I opened with, it's nice to be in fucking heaven's waiting room. Or as we know, Soldier's Point, fuck, there's a lot of old people in here. Opened with that.
Yeah.
And then I was making fun of like these two paintings that were hanging on the wall.
Yeah.
Did you see those? It was like two coffee cups. Two of the exact same painting with the exact same coffee cups. And I'm like, yeah, they're for you fucking old fucks because you don't like change, so you need the same coffee cup to not offend anyone. I need the exact same fucking painting and make it a coffee cup because that's not offensive.
Yeah.
Like, what the is that art? Like,
did they like it?
They went from that to just like opened up. That's and I was like, sweet, I broke them. Let's do some fucking material. The first joke was a bit like, and I was like, you better laugh, cunts.
Yeah. Just,
you better fucking laugh at this shit because otherwise I'm going to keep going at yous.
Yeah.
And yeah, second joke started working well. I open with that test positive for faith joke and just how I go, it's just a joke. Her name was Jasmine.
Yeah. Whatever.
And then they're like, oh, okay, it's jokes.
Yeah.
Like, because I don't know, some crowds are weird. They don't know that it's comedy or they haven't been to comedy enough. And
I think that was the big thing is they weren't like experienced going to comedy shows.
Yeah.
So they didn't know, like, they were really distractible. So Bradley would be doing crowd work and talking to someone in the front row and then the rest of the crowd would start chatting between each other.
Yeah.
Well, they'd stop after a punchline lands and they'd start talking to each other about how funny the joke was.
Yeah.
And like I went up there with the sole idea of I'm going to push it as far as I can go because I know Eddie's got to follow me. And if I could have stopped halfway through the set and gotten off after my Tanilba Bay joke.
Yeah.
After it's crushed. Like, I told him I was from Tanilba Bay and I've got this set about my hometown at the moment.
Yeah.
And it all clicked and the entire room erupted and it was huge. And I was like, all right, well, let's fucking hit you with some dark material because... And then I hit him with like a cancer and a joke about a man having a stroke or a lady having a stroke.
To a bunch of old cunts.
Didn't you learn your lesson? It's too real fucking, for them.
Yeah.
Dude, it is.
You should have learned your lesson at the golf club.
No, but I knew what was going to happen, but I was like, fuck it. You know what? I'm in that spot.
Yeah.
You've got to kind of take the bullets. So it is what it is.
It's cool for you guys as well because you do so many different gigs together. Like you, it sounds like you have a feel of the lineup, and you're like, oh, Eddie's coming next. So I'm going to do this. That.
Yeah,
I think that's cool because in Sydney, often you do obviously meet the same people, but very rarely are you all on the same lineup. You all know each other that well.
Yeah,
it's cool. It's like it's like a team sport.
That's why Newcastle scene is so sick.
Yeah.
Because it is like a team thing. And like everyone's fucking like there to help everyone. It's not so much of a competition where it's like, fuck this cunt, fuck that cunt.
Yeah, yeah.
Although we will say that.
Oh, yeah.
But to their face.
Yeah. So fine. Yeah. Or on the podcast, fuck you, Ronan.
Yeah. Dude, we came out of the comedy club last night after watching the showcase. Down there having like a fucking argument with his girlfriend.
Yeah. Saw the video.
Who is pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is he doing?
Yeah.
What is going on there? And then I went and got in the van and we drove around and by that time he'd walked up past like the Clarendon.
Yeah.
And he's still walking in front of her, like trying to get her to stop. And I'm like, what are you doing? Just go home.
He's done a psychology degree.
Ugh.
He should know
has
what's
he
going on.
Has he done one?
I doubt it. Probably. I don't think he'd lied. I don't think he'd lied.
I don't know. I just got out of a relationship.
How come I don't see him around anymore? Is he still...
He's been excommunicado.
He's been kicked out of the group chat.
Yeah. It's been a few weeks since we've done a pod, so all of this stuff is like coming back to us now. Yeah. We'll edit out his name, but yeah, he made a very
suggestive.
He comment. in a group chat to one of like a new female comedian who's pretty as well. Like, she's very pretty, but he's just actively gone, we should fuck.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
putting that in a public place.
Yeah.
She's married. She's got kids. Like, she's new in the scene. Like, you put that on her and she doesn't know how to react.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh, is this how we act? Or, like, yeah, not cool. You don't do that in a public place like that. So, anyway, he's excommunicado. Yeah, he's on the list now. Yeah. I got made at moderator of the group chat as well. I was like, somebody add Jay so I can kick him again.
Yeah. Big responsibility.
All my brain's doing is trying to, like, get communicado and retardo to come together so we can name this episode.
Ex-retardo. Ex-communi-retardo.
Yeah, it doesn't really work. But, yeah, he made a fucking... big mistake.
Fair.
But he came back to the Stag the other week. He did a spot.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's room for redemption.
Yeah.
People fuck up.
100%.
Yeah. He just has to wear it for a bit.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. He'll get there.
Yeah. Group chat's been way more peaceful without him, though.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
One of those guys who always just has to fucking comment. And
chime in with shit, yeah.
I think I have it on mute, but every now and then I dive in and scroll back and... enjoy a bit of the
juice. Bit of drama, bit of comedy drama.
Yeah.
There's so many of those group chats around.
Yeah, every scene's got its own comedy group chat, and then you've got the side group chats where you talk about the group chat as well.
Mm.
Like, you see what that fucking dickhead posted in there? What a fuckwit, eh? Like, screenshotting and commenting on it.
That's retarded behavior, dude.
It's so bad.
It's the girliest fucking gossipy shit. And we all fucking do it. I just try and stay out of it.
We're like fucking high school kids.
Yeah. Like, I try and just focus on, like, I'll talk about a gig or something like that if I have the shits with it. But, yeah, if it's someone else, save it for the podcast. It's much more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do any of you guys know each other from earlier, like from high school and stuff like that?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, me and Ethan went to school together.
Yeah. In fucking Taree.
Yeah.
Taree, where's that? North.
Yeah, 2 hours north.
Right.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Near Tanilba Bay, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, me and Ethan be mates 20 years now.
Has it? Fuck.
Yeah, since we're like 12, 13. We should fuck. We should. We've come close a few times. Seen his dick. He's seen mine.
It's going to be like, he made the joke? Why can't I make the joke? I was just doing that. Have you been friends with her for 20 years, Jay? No. Yeah. You barely know her.
Yeah.
And you're the same gender.
Yeah.
And did you start at the same time, stand up?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's one of those things we always both wanted to try it out, but it's one of those... Now it's a lot easier.
No, we both wanted to try it out, but I did it first, and you're like, fuck, he did it, so now I have to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let him fucking get away with it.
Yeah. Ethan was, like, real nervous at the start when he first started. Like, there was, like, anxiety and all of that. I was just, like, fucking so retarded. Still am, but, like, I was just, like, not nervous at all. I was like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, right.
Just got up and just ate shit for, like, 2 years straight.
Yeah.
That's how most people start comedy. You just eat shit for 2 years and all of a sudden you start getting laughs.
100%.
Yeah. How long have you been doing it, man?
2 years. Oh, I was terrified at the start as well.
Yeah.
I actually went to the, like, before I'd done it at all, I went to the open mic and then decided not to sign up, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then eventually did it and it was all right. But,
but
it's daunting, especially when you don't know anyone and you kind of like walking into this room and you're like, oh, I don't know what this is and where do I sign my name up? And,
Yep. Where do I sit?
And then eventually you realize it's so low, like these open mics. Not so much here because you guys get a big crowd, but some of these open mics in Sydney, there's just no one there.
Yeah.
And I did Scruffy Murphy's, I think, 2 weeks ago, and it was it was rough. Like, it was really rough. There was almost no one there. The people that were there in the back just talking to each other.
Yeah.
And one of the other comics who's pretty new was sort of saying to me, oh, man, I don't want to get up. It's going to be horrible. And I'm like, bro, this is the lowest stakes you could ever imagine. Like, you can get up and bomb for 5 minutes and no one will judge you because that's no one's what listening. The room is.
Yeah.
It's what everyone's doing.
Yeah. The
expectation is here. So everything you do above that will be incredible, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you realize it's like low stakes. I feel like here would be very tough to do a first set as like an open mic just because it's a big crowd. But
it's easier.
You reckon it's easier?
Because you've got a way better crowd.
Yeah, if you get a good MC, they're going to say that it's your first time, so you're going to get a bit of slack with that, and people are going to be, like you said, that bar's lowered, like with a new material night. They'll be like, all right, this person, we'll give them a bit more.
Yeah,
it is a pretty supportive, good place to do your...
Fair.
Like first time, but then the issue is people do their first time here and then they come to the Stag they get a reality check and then they quit. That happens a fair bit.
Or they don't, or they come back for their second or third set
without the G up that it's their first time.
You're on the same level field as everyone else getting up.
You don't get the spiel
and then
at the start.
They get that first bomb. And
you know, what happened is the same jokes.
So, No, man. Turns out there's way more to it.
I
feel like on that note, I feel like when I first started, I didn't understand what a laugh was. Like, I feel like my first couple of sets or whatever, I was like, oh, yeah, I got laughs. And then if I listen to it back now, I'm like, those aren't laughs. Like, those are like, sneakers, you know what I mean? You get a little bit more attuned to like, the loudness of the laugh, the type of laugh.
Mm.
Whereas when you start, I feel like sometimes people think like, oh, there was a noise.
Right.
There was a noise. There was a guy in Raw last Tuesday at the Comedy Store. I went just to watch. And he was doing terribly. I think it was his first time or like first five sets at least. And he was doing like pretty offensive stuff and not funny.
Mm.
And the judges were laughing. No one was laughing. The judges were laughing, up, but they were laughing at like,
how fucking
can you believe this guy came to Raw and thought he could like talk about these horrible things?
Yeah.
And every time they'd laugh, you could see his confidence grow and he thought he was killing. And
he's doubling down.
It was hilarious, but not for the right reasons. Yeah.
They're some of the best to watch. I love it when someone comes new to comedy and they're like, they've watched all the greats tackle all these crazy premises and they're like, I can do that.
Mm.
Yeah, Louis C.K. did it. Why can't I?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a new guy kicking around at the moment. He's genuinely naturally funny. Like his first couple of sets, like crushed. And you're like, holy fuck, it's Trev.
Mm.
And then Trev got a couple of weeks in. Trev got real confident.
Yeah.
Got up there.
Yeah.
Said some racist material. Ate it.
Yeah.
Ate it big.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all you could hear is me at the back laughing.
Where the fuck did this come from?
You know, it's an all-time bomb if you can just hear me.
That's the other type of laugh, when you hear a laugh from the back of the room okay.
Yeah.
The comedians are laughing. Either that means it was an incredible joke, which if no one else is laughing, it's probably not. Yeah. Or, something bad's going on.
That's those Sydney rooms, man. You got to try and, like, you're playing the comics who aren't really paying attention.
Yeah.
And you can kind of, like, get their attention by saying crazy fucked up shit.
Yeah.
And then try and slide in a joke that you're like, oh, this one's for, like, regular people. But we'll see. I've got their attention now. They're laughing at how crazy this is. Maybe I can slip this in.
Mm.
It's a fucking weird one. And it's really weird to, like, learn how to do comedy in that sort of environment.
I agree.
And then try and transition out of that into just doing, like, a club set or whatever. Because, if you're like...
That's why I used to come up here a lot. Like, in my first year... Almost every Tuesday I was up here, or every second Tuesday, because it was really hard to do those open mics in Sydney. They've gotten a lot better now. Like, generally, most of the open mics, even Scruffy's, like, you'll have some crowd.
Yeah.
You'll have at least five people, eight people, 12 people. Enough.
That's all you need.
Enough that you know, did that joke work, did it not work, whatever, and you can go home and improve it. When I first started... There was no one. And so you'd do your jokes and then you'd go home and be like, I don't know any more information than I knew before I did the set.
Yeah.
And so at least if you come here or you go to another room where there's a crowd, it's like, if it didn't work, it didn't work, you know? Whereas, if you do it to 10 comedians and they're on their phone, you're like, was it a bad joke? I don't know.
Yeah. And even if they do laugh, you're second guessing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, did they laugh because that was fucked, or did they laugh because it was funny? Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, it's because it's fucked.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think it's way harder to get good. We're lucky here. I think the ramp up, like when you first start out, everyone's basically terrible. But that ramp up towards getting towards good is way easier in Newcastle because we've got real-time feedback from real crowds. Like, if you do the stag will basically fill out.
Yeah.
Maybe not right at the start of the gig, but, like, towards the middle, you'll get every single fucking table full, and then it's just a bar show. And it's kind of... It's still a tough gig if you're not experienced and you can't deal with hecklers and stuff like that because it's a bit of a wild show. Yeah. Any bar show is, but that the ability to get that real-time feedback, and if you write and work on it, you'll get better really.
You
got
to read on it every time. Like I went on last week because I'm running it, so I just go on last and I can just do extra time, which is sweet. But it took me like 13 minutes to fucking get them at the end. And there was only like a dozen people left.
Yeah.
But like out of that, I was like trying some new shit. And I'm like, oh, that fucking got some laughs. I was like, if it gets laughs there, you're like, I can bring it here and it's going to fucking kill.
Yeah. It's good that you also, with those two gigs, you have the two types of gigs. Like you've got the club gig and you've got the pub gig, you know, and it's like different. And so you have that both... Cardiff was cool. I did Cardiff a couple of times. That's different as well. That like RSL shouting over the back of the pool table type thing.
Yeah.
So you have variety as well. Like you have good gigs, but you have variety too.
Yeah. I'm glad that Cardiff isn't around anymore. it was pretty hectic.
Yeah. They got pretty rough towards the end. I think I only did it like twice. I'm like, I can't justify driving an hour out there.
Yeah.
In an hour.
How do you think I felt?
Yeah, I know, dude.
I went once and it was like four people. And just before me was Joel.
Yeah.
And he got in some argument with like a 17-year-old girl in the front row. And
I remember that.
It got pretty vicious.
Yeah.
And then it was, and everyone in the crowd was just like, oh God, like scared of him. And then they called me on and it was just like, yeah, it was tough.
Yeah.
It was rough. It was tough. And I was like, why did I drive here?
But, yeah.
That'll happen with Joel.
Oh, if he's not having a good night, he'll bomb it up just to fuck everyone else over real quick.
He'll set that place on fire. He doesn't give a shit, man. I've seen him actually get mad at like hecklers too. Like actually get mad where you're like, oh dude. He's like, fucking cunt, getting on stage. Like, Jesus, dude, it's okay. It's just comedy.
Yeah.
He's like, that fucking cunt heckled me.
It's like Elliot can do that. He doesn't look like he's about to murder someone.
Oh, dude, Elliot gets vicious too, though.
Yeah.
Elliot will fucking... He's, like, so unassuming because he's, like, this small, young, handsome little fella.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, and I fucked your mum. And you're like, whoa, dude.
Comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your strategy with hecklers? What's your...
I'll just talk to them. Yeah. I'll talk to them or I'll completely... If I, like, the way I deliver my jokes... It's kind of hard to heckle me.
Yeah.
For the most part, you've really got to fucking time it well because of my setups and stuff like that. But I'll usually just attack them straight up. Like, we've all got like canned responses or whatever that we can like throw to. Like, I'll also make them feel real embarrassed.
Mm.
I'll be like, you hear that? That's the sound of no one laughing at what you just said, dude.
Mm.
How about you shut the fuck up?
you go pretty hard on them.
Yeah, but you've got to. Because I'm a fucking small little fat dude. I'm easy to make fun of. So if a heckler was to get going on me, it might be hard to...
Yeah.
Might be hard to pull it back, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never had that where it's like they've gone full on vicious and like just trying to tear you down. Never had that really. How do you deal with them?
I don't think I've ever had that level of viciousness. I find it good generally. I kind of like it because I feel like as long as you 99% of the time the crowd's on your side because they want to watch a decent comedy show, not some dickhead shouting out. And I feel like all you need to do is react in some natural way and everyone laughs. Like I feel like it's easy laughs. Very rarely is it kind of hard to deal with. Trying to think of examples. Like I had this guy, I had a weird one the other day in Canberra, in the Durham. They've got behind the stage is like a giant window onto the street.
Yeah.
And I was like doing my set, and all of a sudden someone in the front row went, "Oh, bro, your boss is behind you." And I looked behind, and there's like some old guy standing at the window.
I
like,
saw that on your reels.
Clearly. Yeah. Like just looking in. And then I was like, "Oh, what do I do?" And then it's just like, yeah, I'll just react naturally. I'm just like, "Oh, waved at him, whatever." And it's like everyone's laughing. I'm not even making a joke. Like I feel like it's like easy laughs or somehow.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely trying to get like mad. I feel like me mad is not funny. I feel like people get like
No. It's not the way to
go. All of a sudden everyone's on their side now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if it's like legitimate outrage versus like you can do like a pretend to get mad at them.
Yeah.
And people realize that it's tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. But yeah, getting legitimately mad is.
Yeah, I had one. Have you done? You guys done Low 302 on Wednesdays?
No.
It's like the new open mic in Sydney. It's rough. They get a decent crowd, but it's just like I don't know, for whatever reason, it's just like just a dead. It's a tough crowd.
Right.
You can if you're very very funny, you can get them, but otherwise it's rough. And I had during my set like a family started talking to each other. And I was sort of ignoring it, and eventually I went back to it. And I was genuinely annoyed, and I think that showed. And the crowd kind of went like, ooh. And then I kind of felt in the 2 or 3 seconds, I was like, oh, God, I've lost him. Yeah. Like, what do I do? And then I just, like, melodramatically got upset, but, like, making fun of myself. Like, I started like, oh, you guys are ruining my set. Like, and that sort of brought him back. But it was like I felt in that moment, like, me being genuinely annoyed is just, like, for whatever reason, it's like not funny. It's not good. It's like, I know that I need to steer away from that, like no matter what.
I've had a mistake here where like, you know, you can laugh at someone like for laughing at your joke.
Yeah.
Like I'll make a self-deprecating joke and I'm like, oh, you found that a little bit too funny. And then I laugh and I'm like, yeah, what the fuck did I do to you? And I said that just as an off. And then the whole crowd went, and I was like, oh, no, I'm just joking, guys. It's a comedy show. You're allowed to laugh. But it was like that mistake where you you just take it one step too far and you can zip your fucking crowd.
Yeah.
I'm curious about on the self-deprecating stuff. Do you find – I don't do a lot of it. I've done some of it. How do you find the line between, like, people laughing? And you know when you push it, like, just one step too far and then you get this, like
– pity.
Aww.
Yeah.
How do you manage that line?
You've got to – I have definitely had that issue in the past, especially when I'm like, because I'm rewriting a joke so that I can put it online at the moment about someone I worked with who got cancer, and then I'm changing it to my dad, and I've noticed the crowd immediately falls into that pity zone.
Yeah,
it's about like just slowly ramping up your self-deprecating stuff. So you start with like something small about yourself, you get them laughing, and then you can slowly build it up. But also, I think leaning to self-deprecating for me, I had a big problem where my entire set was just a roast on myself.
Yeah.
And it was great, but it's like, all right, well, there's only fucking so much material I can do on having a little dick and being fat.
Yeah.
Like, I've got to, but it's a great way to open up when you're making fun of things.
Yeah.
Self-deprecating, get everyone laughing at you.
Gives you license to attack other things.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think for the pity thing, like you got to make yourself the villain a little bit as well and like set it up as like, I'm bad.
Mm.
And then you can get away with more self-deprecation because you're like...
What do you mean by I'm bad? Like bad?
Yeah, just like, what's... I don't know, like you could allude to the fact that you're... Like I do it with my fucking... I haven't done this bit in a while, but it was like a bit about going to the monster trucks and how I'm like a... Like bogan, so a little bit racist, so it gives me more license to be like, I'm a fucking idiot.
Fair.
With that sort of stuff.
Fair.
Because people know that it's like, it's not me being racist.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Although that's not really self-deprecation, but I think it works the same way.
Yeah.
Whereas like,
yeah.
If you can like, I don't know. It's hard to make jokes about being skinny too, I've found.
Because
fat jokes, make a fat joke about yourself easy.
Dude,
but yeah,
it's like fucking
if you're like, I don't eat enough, people are like, oh,
should we feed him after the show? Come to the kebab show.
It's all right, I'm not African, you don't have to donate. I'm not asking you for money. You're skinny and Jewish, fuck.
It's a rough combination.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's hard with certain topics to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You fall into that pity and then you're fucked. They're like, oh, no, I don't want you to feel sorry.
You're like,
for
no, I'm okay.
Yeah. Mitch Garling does it a good way, how he's like, it's all right. I made the joke. Like, I worked there, or when he's talking about working at KFC and shit.
Yeah. I've got the new joke I'm doing about having autism. I just come out and say it, and the entire crowd goes, and they all pull back. I go, it's all right. It's not fucking contagious. I'm not going to sneeze, and all of a sudden you just can't make eye contact. Like making fun of their response as well is a great way to do it. Like, oh, yeah, cool.
Because you know that they're going to pull back.
Yeah. It's like, it's funny how comedy is like, it's so random, but it's also not.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I know when the crowd's going to fucking freak out and I'm counting on it because it's going to make the punchline land.
Yeah.
That's the fun thing about it. It's finding that stuff and fucking with the crowd a little bit.
Yeah.
So you've been traveling around doing video blogs, shit like that for Insta?
Yeah, I've been throwing some stuff up. I started at the end of last year. And, yeah, just throwing stuff up and just seeing. There's no real strategy. Me and a mate have just been driving around. Because often, like, we'll go to gigs. I've got a mate who doesn't do comedy, but he loves, like, a road trip. If I hit him up and I say, I'm doing a Newcastle on the weekend, he's like, I'm in, you know.
Sick.
Canberra, whatever. And so he's always down. And then we'll just, like, do shit on the way. Like, we'll stop somewhere we've never been. We'll, like, you know, walk around and just explore or whatever.
Yep.
And we started being like, oh, we're always, like, laughing. Let's just film some of it. And, some of it went well, some of it didn't go well. Like, I started to figure out things like the audio quality was a big issue with some of the early ones. So I bought this little, like, mic thing.
Yep.
And then that improved things. But, yeah, still, like, I've had a couple of hits. I don't really know why they were hits, but the others weren't, you know?
That's a hard game to figure out, man. But figuring it out. You're trying.
Figuring it out. I've taken a week or two off because with Adelaide, I was, like, learning that 60 minutes, just memorizing it.
Yep.
The last week, I was just like, I can't do anything else. I can't have distractions.
But it sucks that, like, comedy these days, like, you have to do both games. You have to be I'm almost like an influencer and do comedy.
Yeah.
Just to try and fucking sell shows. You got to do your own promo. It's fucking bullshit.
I'd love to get to the point where you just, like, drop on your Instagram, hey, I'm doing a show on Friday. It's here. And then, bam, all the tickets sell. I'd love to get to that point where you don't have to, like, you know, walk the streets and, like, give flyers.
Yeah.
And, like,
well, it used to be that you get management and they would have all the email lists and they would have all the fucking keys to the kingdom.
And
the marketing and all that shit already wrapped up. They would know venues and
get you
spots, and that's what it would be like once you get signed. But I think even they would probably be struggling these days because they've got to compete with, like, the new market, which is it's all online shit.
And probably half of them would say, well, we're not signing, you don't have a big enough TikTok or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing, man. Like, you see people with management and it's like, what are they? All right, they got 2 million followers on Instagram or TikTok and they're like, all right, okay, that's cool, but they fucking suck.
Yeah.
Like, they suck at comedy. You can't, TikTok comedy doesn't translate to stage. People look at you like, what the fuck is this cunt doing? Like, what are they talking about? Getting up there.
Well, it's a lot of work. Like, you probably know how much fucking work goes into editing, like, a video and filming it and shooting it, editing it, getting it all fucking ready to go.
And
you chuck it up and it gets, like, 1,000 views and you're like, fuck.
That's what kills you. It's like, if you do all that and it does well, you're like, oh, it's like, gives you
dopamine
energy.
Hit, yeah.
But when you do, you throw it up and it gets 200 views, and you're like, oh my God, it took me 7 hours.
Yep.
And if you get a couple of those in a row, like a couple of days, you're like, oh my God. But yeah, I think it's good. But yeah, I haven't figured it out. And the other thing I'm starting to think about is, like, I got some followers, not many, but I got, say, on Instagram, I got like 2K people that I don't know, you know, follow me from the reels.
Yeah, that's sick.
And then, but when I post stand up stuff, I don't post a lot of stand-up reels, right? Just because I haven't got good film and whatever. But if I post, like, my show poster, it's getting not many likes, and all those likes are comics that I know personally.
Yeah.
So then I'm starting to question, okay, is me doing this random stuff
going to sell shows?
Like, us going to bloody Yass and, like, making fun of the bakery. Like, is that going to translate to stand-up shows? I don't really know. I've got to...
Unless you're doing a gig in Yass and you're, like, promoting it.
Yeah,
and that's how your promoter is doing, like, a reel on it.
Yeah.
And then, like, at the end of it, you go, oh, yeah, and we've got a show tonight, so if you just want to fucking come down.
Yeah.
Yeah. that'll probably be the way to do it, because if you put up a show poster and it's just like an image,
yeah,
I don't think people really fucking look at that. Like, I don't. If I'm on Instagram, 100%. I'm scrolling through reels and shit.
100%.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think you follow people, but you don't, like, remember who they... You know, you followed them randomly, like, 2 months ago. You don't remember who they are.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think it's like, yeah, throwing shit up, figuring it out. I don't know. What's your boy's strategy with all that sort of shit?
I don't have a strategy.
Yeah, yeah. We just flounder in mediocrity.
I'm just... I see
your reels pop up on my thing of, like, the podcast.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I've had a bit of a hiatus from that with the whole fucking girlfriend leaving me shit and not agreeing with that, so taking a month off. But
fair.
The last one we did went fucking, like, 120K.
That's good.
With Steve Lurch. And it was just the most fucked video.
Abhorrent thing I could have said.
Yeah.
Like, and... People from work have seen that. Talking about, like, how do you go finger and chicks, mate? Fuck.
I think I saw this one. Is this the one about, like, Asian prostitutes?
Yeah, one.
So that was the week where earlier you'd messaged me saying, do you want to be on the pod? I was away. And then... And then that video popped up, and I was like, oh my God, that's what I would have been talking about.
We have no idea why that one popped off.
That just happened.
Yeah.
It was wild. I don't know why. That was a fucking red hot episode, though. Like, the whole thing was just fucking crazy because it's just Steve.
Yeah.
It's just who he is.
I've never met Steve. Is he a comic in Newcastle?
Yeah, he's brand new.
Pretty new, yeah. And he says some fucked up shit on stage, too. Yeah.
He's one of my favorite people.
He's a good dude too.
He's great. He goes live on Instagram just to fuck with people.
Oh, that's cool.
The other day, he just goes live and he's up at the Headland somewhere.
Hitting golf balls. Yeah.
And he's awful. Terrible. He's terrible. So he's like missing them and they're not even getting off the air. And then he's like, oh, fuck, can I see? Oh, no, I better not go for that one. I might fall down. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to watch this cunt die. Like, I'm going to watch this cunt die.
That was on live.
Yeah. So I just started heckling him. You suck, Steve. Yeah, jump.
Yeah, I would have told him to jump. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'm just there hanging a shit. And I'm like, oh, Steve's gone live.
Yeah. Well, like you said, man, I don't know why that video went fucking as bananas as it did. I think it's just maybe just the start of it's like a hook.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it's that hook, eh? Yeah. It's like that first 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To people. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's tough because, like, we tried to do some more elaborate shit. Like, because I watch a lot of, like, do you guys know, like, Nelk and Danny Mullen and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah.
Like, these YouTube buddy going around America doing all these pranks on people and shit. So we started saying, like, let's try and do some more. Because before we didn't plan anything. We were just walking around filming and then I'd watch it back and be like, oh, that's kind of funny, and then chop it up. But we were in Paris. And we were like, let's do some funny shit. So I was like, what if I just go to one of these landmarks and just say to everyone, like, hey, the tour's starting, and, like, get a bunch of people and fuck with them and do a fake tour and whatever. So we're doing all this shit at, like, the Eiffel Tower and stuff and, like, taking the piss out of people. Like, I had these Brazilian tourists doing this fucking mime dance. And I was like, yeah, this is what French people do at the Eiffel Tower, whatever. But the problem with the last stuff, it's like, we watch a bag and we're like, ha, that's so funny. I said, it's my girlfriend. She's like, ha, it's so funny. But it's, like, complicated.
Yeah.
So you can't hook anyone in the first 3 seconds. Because if they see that, they're like, oh, it's some random guy doing a weird dance, whatever. Yeah. You know, scroll away.
Yeah.
There's way too much setup. Like, I think simplicity is also, like...
Yeah.
Important. What I would do with that one is go, I ran a fake tour in Paris.
Yeah.
That's your hook.
Yeah.
So then people are like, oh, he ran a fake tour in Paris. Yeah. I'll watch this. And then the next one, I think you've got to get them, like, with that.
On the cover photo.
I tried doing that, but yours is way better. I think mine was trolling French people at the Eiffel Tower. But that's, again, it's still like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
I ran a fake tour. It's so much better. Yeah. Where were you? A month ago.
Dude, re-upload it and see what happens.
There's a very good video.
I think what I'm going to do is wait for the Olympics because, you know, it's going to be... I think the other issue is, like, my algorithm funnels it to Australian people. Yeah. And Australian people are like, why the fuck is this France? Like, scroll away.
Mm.
Whereas if it's trending because it's the Olympics, it's like, maybe that'll help. So I might recut it and do that.
Yeah. There's a very good video of this dude that runs, like, a science channel on YouTube called Veritasium. And he... was chatting to Mr. Beast about like how to title his videos at like this big YouTube conference thing. And Mr. Beast just looks at the video, looks at them, and he goes, "I'll just name it this." Like exactly like you just did then. Yeah, I'll send it to you. It's fucking amazing, dude. Like, because he was going like all scientific, like in the titles and shit. Yeah. And Mr. Beast is just, he's the man. He knows what to do.
Yeah. He's got it figured out. He's got it figured out.
But that promise of a hook and promise of a payoff too.
Yeah.
Like, you know that something's going to come. Like, if you see someone that's like, those stupid videos are like, they're shooting for the cup or whatever.
Oh, and it never goes in.
I need to fucking watch it until it goes in, goddammit. I can't help myself.
Burnt three or four times and you watch one for 14 minutes and then it goes in. And from now on, I'm like, I'm never watching it again.
Yeah. Now you've got to check the comments. Be like, how long is this video? What are the comments? Wasted my fucking time.
Yeah.
Or that guy that's like sawing the tree.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's just on a loop.
Yeah.
It never goes
How long did that get you for?
Huh?
How long did that one get you for?
Oh, the first time, probably about a minute.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
I watched one of those, you know, that the guy who's like building a pool or something in Bali. He's like digging out. Have you ever seen those?
No, I've seen the ones that are just like
building a house with a pool from scratch. Yeah. I got sucked into that for about 22 minutes.
Is that all? I'll be up at 3 a.m. Like, what am I doing? Not able to sleep, being like, let's watch them fucking dig this thing out for 3 hours. I want to know.
Yeah.
It's fucked.
I'll do it and then I'll forget I'm watching it as well. I'll be like, just, you know, you just zone out.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, yeah, sweet. This is taking a while.
When you guys go through the footage, like, to think about what to upload, do you look for hooks or do you just kind of think what's funny?
I just go with repackage? What's funny. Yeah. But apparently that doesn't work for the algorithm.
Yeah.
So
you kind of need what hooks people in.
Yeah.
Which it's tough, though, because like, you also don't want to put shit out.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay, I might get some views.
Yeah.
But then all my comedian friends will be like, this guy's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They already think we're terrible.
True.
Yeah.
It's all right.
But I've always, and I think it's like we were talking about before, like trying to read a room and do certain jokes and shit.
Mm.
It's like, I don't really want to pander to that and be like, I have to fucking do it this way. Because then you're just doing what everyone else is doing.
Very true.
And that's fucking hard to set yourself apart from everyone else if it's all the same shit. It's like all the comedians doing crowd work clips now. There's just fucking heaps of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true.
Steve Hofstetter was doing the first, like, comedian versus heckler shit. And I'm sure for a while there was fucking heaps of that going around, everyone trying to jump on board.
Yeah. I think because Schultz blew up that way as well, right?
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, that's the model. Like, this is the way to do it.
Let's all fucking do that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the whole crowd work thing is great too because you can upload a set of you doing well that's moderately funny and you don't have to burn any material.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, to upload your materials.
Yeah.
It's like a cost.
Yeah.
Not like, that, like, if I upload a joke tomorrow, it gets 3,000 views, like, no one's going to remember it. It's not like I can't do it in the club
tomorrow. Exactly, man. Yeah.
But there's something about it that feels a bit...
Well, my only thing, and I've done it before and I don't really care, but it's like if the bit's not ready. Like, I uploaded one that I did the other night and it was like the first time I ever ran it. And I'm just like, fuck it. I'm just going to put it up and see what happens.
Yeah.
And it got like 200 views. And I'm like, the audio's dog shit. The video quality's dog shit. I didn't subtitle it properly. It got what it fucking deserved, which was nothing. But I will eventually do it like here at a showcase where it's filmed properly, got proper audio and fucking put it out properly.
Yeah.
And it'll be better. But I think like you're saying, like no one's that video that got 200 views, like 200 people, probably mostly my friends on Instagram saw it and then it's fucking gone. Who gives a shit? No one's gonna be like at a showcase here being like, oh, I saw that on Instagram 3 months ago when you no one cares.
Yeah.
No one fucking cares. Apart from your work, apparently, seeing Steve Lurch videos.
Yeah.
Was there talking to? Or?
No, they're pretty good. They're pretty good there.
It's your own time. You should be able to do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's a fucking entertainment thing that you're playing up for like entertainment value.
Yeah. There's that. And also,
you're not doing it at work.
You've gone out of your way to, if you go out of your way and you listen to this podcast, and then you get upset about something that's said on the podcast, it's kind of on you. Yeah, maybe if you see a reel and I'm saying something fucking... Like, if I'm up here talking about like the good points of Hitler. Like, and it pops up on your reel and you're like, man, he's actually pretty fucking racist. And it's not like I was actively searching him. That's a different thing. Yeah. But like you come onto the, if you go on and listen to, what are we at? How many fucking podcasts have we done now?
151.
Yeah, 151 podcasts. And if you get upset, it's like, all right, well, fuck me. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I agree with that. You're looking for problems.
Yeah, you're looking for problems.
Stay away.
So are we, though. Actually, we want problems. Problems sell tickets.
It'd be great if we got cancelled.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing that seems to sell to get views is like the controversy stuff.
Yeah, people start arguing in the comments.
Yeah,
and shit. This and that. That's
I had one. We went to St. Mary's, you know, in Western Sydney, and like near Penrith, where Jerome Luai's from. And we were walking around, and we were just doing like pure, again, nothing scripted. We're just like pure reactions, and we counted 16 rub and tug joints before we found food. Yeah. So the entire video is just 50 seconds of us going, oh, there's another one. And we just put a little counter on the top. Bro, the hate on that fucking video. Yeah. But it popped off because everyone started commenting.
Yeah.
And it's like people are like, we're going to sue you for defamation. Like, we don't give Andrew. Like, the massage union. I don't know. Like, all the owners of these businesses are going crazy. Like, people from St. Mary's are going crazy. People are going, oh, you... Like eastern suburbs, people come out here. Yeah. But I was like, I'm from the Central Coast. What are you talking about? Yeah. But it doesn't matter because they're commenting, and now it's like,
Same
but
thing
is that a good thing? Does that sell shows? I don't know.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Same thing happened to Ben McLennan. He did a bit about like
Windale
or something like that. Yeah. And everyone from fucking Windale's in there like, fuck you, fucking cunt.
Come
like,
down to the bowling club, I'll fucking smash you.
Literally playing into what he's saying. But anyway, like, I think, and people don't realize as well, it's like one guy wrote a fucking huge paragraph like ripping into us on Steve Lurch thing. I was like, thanks, man, helping us get another 100K views or whatever it was.
It was funny because it was on about 40K before that comment came in.
Yeah, and then we got like another 40K.
Yeah, and it went nuts.
Yeah, and then I looked at his Instagram and he's got all of these reels that haven't done that well.
Oh, was that the Indian body?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like a bodybuilder, some Indian dude.
So he commented on your...
He was very cranky.
Mad.
What was his issue?
He was mad. We got too many views.
Yeah, he was like,
he didn't think we deserved it.
What did he say? He's all stink.
Yeah. Something like that.
He said I looked like Beetlejuice's dad, which I thought was pretty funny.
It was funny as fuck.
But anyway, he got his fucking... He was pretty butthurt. He got bent out of shape because he's like... uploading all these reels of him at the gym and shit, and he's getting nothing. And he's like,
here it is. I'll read it out.
We'll wrap it up after that. Or you want to do new bits?
Yeah, we'll do new bits. Oh, he might have deleted the comment.
Did he?
Hey, that's good. You shamed him into...
Oh, no, here it is. 40K views because one of you looks like Beetlejuice's fucking dad and the other looks like real-life South Park characters. And everyone who came across this video is thinking, what girl in their right mind would hook up with these dusters? What are the views from? Absolutely no one thinks you're actually funny. I can smell that room through my phone.
Bro, you're Indian. That's your asshole. Wash it. All right. We got a racist joke. We got one in. Fuck it.
We got a hook. We got a tag. We got everything, man. That's the next reel.
That'll get plenty of comments.
Jesus Christ.
Don't worry about that.
All right. You got any more shows coming up, Kurt?
Yeah. Newcastle Fringe, which would be fun. At the Kent.
Yep.
Upstairs, I think. We're doing Tales of Colour. So that's me and... Have you guys met Naza? He's a Sydney comic. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, what first dates?
22, 23, 24 of March.
Sick.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be great. That little room upstairs, we used to run the open mic there.
Yeah.
It's a great little room.
It's good.
Yeah.
They get the seating right. They get proper seats in.
Yeah. Get
is
the seating.
It in the front where the balcony is, or it's in the back where all the lounges are?
The back where all the lounges are, I'm pretty sure.
Upstairs.
Yeah.
Do you just have upstairs or do you have...
Upstairs. Deco lounge, they call it.
Yeah.
That'd be it.
It looks like it could be a comedy club. Like, literally, like, if you go and look at the layout and stuff like that, it's just a bit of a weirdly shaped room. That's the only takeaway from it.
And it was hard because it was upstairs, so open mic-wise, when we were doing a mic there, all the punters are downstairs.
Yeah.
And they're not coming up for fucking a free comedy show.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather sink piss and eat schnitzels downstairs.
Stay near the TAB.
Yep.
Yep. You can catch Ethan. Are you booked for this one? I don't think so.
I don't know.
You can do it anyway. Right here at Newcastle Comedy Club, 13th of March, we're going another show. Is This Something? So another new material night. Last one fucking went off, so
sick.
This one's going to keep rolling. And watch this space for No Holds Barred as well. Got anything coming up, Ethan?
No.
No.
I'm back.
He's back.
Let it be known, I'm fucking back.
Yeah.
After a hiatus.
He's back on the
with an alcoholic. God damn, that pussy will fuck your life up.
Oh, yeah. All right, that's the pod. Thanks again, man.
Cheers, man. Cheers.